Blog Talk Radio.
I apologize for the technical difficulty. I had to reboot my computer at the last minute. But either way, the time is now 10:03 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that means you are tuned in to the Soul Sessions Radio Show right here on the Flavor News Network and Soul City Radio. My name is Dwayne Alston, and as always, I am your host. I got another good show lined up for you. I got another good guest lined up for you. Soul singer extraordinaire by the name of Gloria Ryan will be joining us. So please tune in for that. We'll make sure you stay tuned in for that. She'll be in at the 10:30 mark. And we're going to play some of her music, chop it up with her, and see what she's all about. In the meantime, I'm going to get right into things. As soon as I cue up my board here, because like I said, I had to reboot, so give me a second. All right, I'm going to kick this. Before I do that, I do have an announcement to make. Tomorrow is Small Business Saturday, and a particular small business that I'm going to need for all of you to support is Pretty Girl Rocks, a local arm candy online boutique who is offering a promotion for Small Business Saturday. With any like on the Facebook page, you'll receive $10 off any order of $60. And they sell a lot of stuff, bracelets, iPhone cases, eye candy, just all kind of trinkets and nice little pieces of jewelry. So you make sure you go check that out. The Facebook page is facebook.com/ Pretty Girls Rocks. That is Pretty GURLZ Rocks, ROKS. And when you get there, use the promo code Soul City Small Business. Excuse me, Soul City Small Biz. Again, that's Soul City Small Biz, B-I-Z. So you guys go check out Pretty Girl Rocks. And while you're doing that, check out these tunes. You are tuned into Soul Sessions. Thank you.
actions always haunting me, yeah. Eyes are burning, tears are falling. I've lost my way off up in this maze, and I can't seem to shake it, even though it may be wrong for me, baby.
I never knew that love could feel so Cause I
Man, I really love that song. I'm not even sure you guys realize just how much I love that song. That's actually my favorite Janet Jackson song, by the way. That is off of the Rhythm Nation CD. That is Someday Is Tonight, featuring Herb Alpert on the trumpet. Well, I could go on and on about just the trumpet in particular, but I'm going to keep it moving. Before that, we had Hill Street Soul with Hey Boy. Before that, Groove Stew right here out of Baltimore with For You, off of their debut album entitled Artificial Substance. So if you're near a record store, go check that out. Very lovely cut right there off a very lovely CD. Before that, we had Don E featuring Kyra Simone with Feel So Good. Curtis Fields with Smoke and Mirrors, and we led that segment off with Chocolate out of the Pacific Northwest with Grown Folks. My guest tonight, Miss Gloria Ryan, is actually running a little late. She hit me up on Facebook and let me know that. So while we wait for her, I'm going to go ahead and play some more good music for you. And I definitely know you'll like this. If you're a fan of the show, I know you've heard this being played before, but this is it's a very special track. It's by Jesse Boykins III. His rendition of the Aaliyah classic, I Care For You, off of the Aaliyah Revisited Tribute CD, which was brought out by Soul Culture out of the UK. And it's a real smooth track, so y'all go ahead and enjoy this.
Yeah.
that's pretty dope right there. Again, that's Jesse Boykins III off the Aaliyah Revisited Tribute CD with his rendition of I Care For You. It's real smooth. I don't know who does the production on that. I'll definitely find out, but they're really on point with that. Either way, our guest is on the line, so let me go ahead and give my official welcome. Tonight's guest is, man, she is so talented. I'm amazed, honestly, you know, just hearing her sing, but I could go on with that. And, you know, let's just bring her in and get this conversation started. Please help me welcome to the Soul Sessions Radio Show, Miss Gloria Ryan.
Yay. Oh, hello.
Clap, clap. I need some type of applause track or something.
I know.
Man.
How you doing? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay. You know, I know it's a little windy where I am. I am outside enjoying the beautiful weather, so excuse the wind.
You know, honestly, I don't even hear the wind.
Okay, good. All the better.
Yeah, so thank you, first of all, for taking time out of your Friday to hang out with me. I do appreciate that.
Of course. I feel like it's been overdue, you know?
Yeah, for real. I mean, I've been trying. I've been trying real hard to, you know, get you here. And, you know, I stopped doing the radio for a minute, so, you know,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't able to get you a while ago when I really wanted to. But here we are.
Here we are. God is good.
All day. Yeah, so I want to ask you basically, you know, what I ask of every guest I have on here, and that's simply, when did you know that music was what you wanted to do in your life?
I mean, I was that rambunctious child. Like, I was always performing. I was not shy. I kind of got my shyness a little bit, you know, as I got older. I guess, you know, that's kind of usual. Children have no fear. But I would say when I was a kid listening to Whitney Houston, and I used to love Cyndi Lauper and Mariah Carey. So I knew, you know, when I was younger that this is what I love to do and what I wanted to do.
So when did you first discover that, you know, you actually could sing?
Singing along to Mariah Carey songs. My mom says that when I was a baby, I would be singing Diana Ross and, you know, whatever that she would have playing in the house.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, my mother sang, my father sang, my grandfather sang in a gospel quartet. So there was always music and liveliness in the household, you know.
Right.
We would have a little jazz. You know, I would go to my aunt's house and she'd be frying some chicken. We'd have some, you know, Pavarotti on. You just never knew. It was always a lively, you know, household or friends or family gathering, you know, all the time. My mom had lots of car parties.
Oh, that's what's up. Nothing like
it. You know.
Yeah, I grew up like that, too. My aunt, she was always throwing car parties.
Yeah.
Always throwing car parties. I have one memory in particular. Around this time, my aunt, she wasn't living here in Baltimore. So my mom, you know, we drove over there. And I remember them being up all night, and I actually had to go to school in the morning. So, you know, I remember, you know, basically I had to, like, get dressed there, and then she just kind of, like, dropped me off at school in the way. It was crazy. I remember.
They didn't care nothing about us going to school. They were getting their party on, honey.
Shoot, I was hoping I didn't have to go.
I hoping somebody would forget after drinking that beer.
Right, I tried to play sick and everything. Like, I don't feel good, you know.
Right.
Go home. Nope, you're going to school. Like, man. But it's all good. It's all good. So, you know, you rattled off a lot of classic soul artists, and my assumption is that these were your musical influences. I guess what I want to ask you is, what about them? You know, that if they did lend an influence to, you know, the way you sing and your range and everything, like, you know, what about them did that?
I think it was just the genuity, you know, and their performance and their lyrics. And every, you know, it was soulful and heartfelt. And, you know, that really speaks to, I think that that's what makes people buy artists, you know, music, is if it touches you, if we're telling your story, you know. So, and even though maybe Aretha, one of my favorites, even though maybe she wasn't telling my story at a young age, I mean, we can still relate to that struggle, you know, as a woman, or just, you know, seeing people in pain. You know, when she did the Sparkle soundtrack, and, man, she was singing the Curtis Mayfield songs, like, you felt that.
Yeah.
You know, when she was singing about pimps and all of that. So I didn't have to necessarily be there to understand that what she was singing about was real. You know, she was telling a story, so... Those artists tell stories and they speak to us. Marvin Gaye and, oh, goodness, Gladys Knight and Minnie Riperton. Like, they really can paint a picture for you. Like, they're really, you know, painting pictures and painting masterpieces. And, you know, I can only hope to do the same thing, to make classic music.
Well, you're definitely on your way. And I'm glad you brought up Minnie Riperton, because I've heard a lot of people compare you to her.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of your range. I mean, how do you feel about that?
Those are big shoes to fill. Like, I'm not trying to be a copycat or, I mean, of course, you know, I'm influenced by many, love Mariah. I mean, I love a lot of artists, you know. That's kind of how it is, you know, if you grow up imitating and emulating, like, your favorite artist. But, you know, I respect her. She's one of my musical mentors, you know, like, I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, oh, like you know, because as soon as people can compare you, they can also break and tear you down. I mean, but I can't pay attention to that. You know, I take it and I appreciate it, and I don't take it for granted. I mean, she's a legend, so, and I,
right.
You know, plan on following in her footsteps.
I definitely dig that. I've always wanted to ask, you know, there are artists, you know, out there with a range like you have. But, you know, you're actually the first one that I got to talk to. So I just wondered, like, you know, to have a range like you have, I mean, is that something you practice? Did that come natural for you? Like, how did you get a range so wide?
Well, I clearly have a nasally high voice. Like, I hate listening to my voice. I'm like, oh, I sound like that. But it's definitely practice. Like, I first started... with Mariah Carey, listening to Mariah. So it wasn't really many, but, you know, Tina sings high and fast, and, you know, she's very wordy in her lyrics, and it's like, that's how I started out practicing. But when I discovered Minnie, oh, it was on. So it's definitely something, I don't know how it came out. I just tried it, and it came out. And I'm like, maybe I can do it again. Maybe I can do it in front of people. Let's see. So... God is in control.
Definitely. And the first time I heard you, you know, that's not the first song that I heard, but I remember hearing, you know, when you did the cover of Minnie Riperton. And, you know, I mean, it's easy to hear because, you know, you did it perfectly. I mean, it was like anyone who didn't know who you were would have probably thought that was her singing the song. And I guess what I'm asking is, in doing that song, I mean, was it to actually, you know, test your range, or did you just feel like, you know, I have the range so I can do a song like this?
Oh, goodness, that's a good question. That was one of those faux pas songs, like the kids couldn't sing, you know, like, don't sing that song. So, I think I remember it being one of my favorite songs, and just one day trying it and getting so much encouragement, you know, from singing around New York City, from singing at the Sugar Bar and the Village Underground, and people, like, you know, giving me standing ovations, and I had the biggest compliment from Patti LaBelle and even from Richard Rudolph, Minnie's widower, regarding singing that. So I don't know what really prompted me to really start singing that song, other than I wasn't supposed to sing it as a kid, and I started singing it as an adult and started getting, you know, I guess great reviews.
Now, you said you got feedback from Patti LaBelle, Miss Patti herself?
Yes. I worked with Patti, Miss Patti. I mean, you know, and I worked with Miss Patti, and one of the best moments of my life, I really must admit, I mean, something I will never forget was she took me aside and was just like, took my hand and wouldn't let my hand go, like, the rest of the night. And she introduced me to Natalie Cole and Clive Davis. It was like, I would never forget that night.
So, well, I can imagine.
Yeah. And then I was able to work with her like a few more times after that, but total blessing.
So it's probably safe to say that, you know how most folks, like, they have a dream artist that they would like to work with? I mean, it seems to me like you've already had your dream come true.
I love the Vandross, his arrangements.
Uh-huh.
And like, I just love how he was just, you know, his girls were showgirls and they had on gowns, and you know, we don't see that anymore. You know, so I did not get to work with Luther. I would have loved to have worked with Luther. And Minnie. I would say Luther and Minnie.
Yeah, I can imagine anyone wanting to work with Luther. I mean, I don't sing, and I would want to work with Luther. it's a funny story. I sang Superstar at a karaoke one night.
Oh, that's hard.
It is. But, I mean, like, Superstar is my favorite song for him. So, you know, I would, you know, what I call singing, I would sing it all the time. And it just so happened, you know, I was starting this job, and, you know, it was one of those, you know how you have the training sessions before you actually start the job. So, you know, it was a group of us, you know, we were in the training class together. And when we all finished, you know, we decided we would go out and celebrate. And so, you know, I had told one of my coworkers about the fact that I would sing the song all the time. And
okay.
You know, she's like, well, you got to sing it tonight. You got to sing it tonight. And, you know, I'm not the one. Like, I don't like getting on stage like that. I don't like being in the spotlight. And so, you know, it took a lot for me to even get up there. I mean, I had to drink, like, two shots and everything.
And so, what? Two shots of what? Tequila?
Oh, no, I can't stand tequila. I like them. I think it was Bacardi. It was Bacardi 151, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I get up there, and, you know, I'm reading the teleprompter, and, you know, I'm singing a song, and it's like, you know, the lights are beaming down, and, you know, I have a bald head, so, you know, that's already, you know, I'm sweating. And so I eventually just sat down in the chair, and I was just singing a song, and I just closed my eyes because I knew if I looked out at this audience, it was over. So I closed my eyes, and I'm just singing a song, and... You know, when I'm done, like, before I open my eyes, I just hear everybody start clapping. So I'm like, what?
Hey.
Yeah, it took me for a loop. I looked at all them like, all of you must be drunk. You like that.
But, right.
Yeah, I mean, that's as far as my singing career will ever go. That one.
I mean,
night.
Listen, a little liquid courage is never wrong. Because I'm going to tell you, when I used to sing, I used to have to have a little Zinfandel and... You know, in order to get my singing, hi, Hector. Hi, honey. That's my puppy. Yeah, he met his mommy. you know, everybody needs a little liquid courage. So I used to have to do Zinfandel. So that's not bad now. Not bad.
Yeah. I'll just enjoy the memory. You know, it's funny because, you know, I'll still sing. And sometimes people be like, well, you know, you can carry a tune and all that stuff, but no, that's not encouragement enough to ever do that. I just can't stick.
Yeah, because when singers tell you that you can carry a tune, you know, we're kind of being nice. Like, oh, you
right.
know, you're good.
Exactly.
You're really, you know, all God's children have talent.
Right. Yeah, I know. That's why I would never take that and run with it, because I know that's what's being said.
Right.
I get up there and make a fool out of myself. It's not even that.
Listen, you got to start somewhere, first of all. I'm going to tell you, my first audition, like, you know, in New York, you know, Faith Evans was having singers audition at this place called Cafe Wah. No, was it Cafe Wah? Or called The Groove. And it was like, you know, I'm just going to get up there for the first time at this open mic, and Faith is there, and her background singers are there. So I think I'm going to sing Chaka Khan something. And, baby, the microphone broke.
Mm.
I gave that microphone back. I said, thank you, good night. Like, cause after, like, I had just, it was it for me. Like, I couldn't, like, the microphone broke. I was just like, I was too scared. So, stuff happens, honey.
Yeah, I can dig it. Now, being in New York, well, first, you know, I heard you say that, you know, you grew up in Chicago. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, well, first let me ask, how long have you been in New York?
Oh, my goodness. Almost 10 years.
Okay, so
I mean,
then,
I was in New York almost 10 years, so.
Okay, so yeah, so I can ask this question then. You know, I hear all the time about, you know, the type of town that New York is musically, and I want to ask, like, how is being there, you know, how is being in New York and being accessible to all of that music, you know, how has that had an influence on you?
Oh, I mean, it's a little air of competitiveness and love, and, you know, you get to build, you know, your fan base there. So I learned a lot, you know, because of New York, I was able to travel and tour and work with all the artists that I did work with. So that had a huge effect on me. It showed me that that's where I was supposed to be, and I was there at the right exact time. You know, because of being in New York, I met, you know, Ashford and Simpson and did background for them. And, you know, that's really what got me started. I mean, I did start in Chicago with an artist named Danny Boy. But after that, I, you know, worked with Ashford and Simpson. And from there, it just was a lot of different artists. So everything happens for a reason. And I learned so much and met so many people, so many great musicians. And, you know, they really become an inspiration for you. And it keeps you going, like you want to do more and do better and, you know, all of that.
Right. I can imagine. I can definitely imagine. Well, I'm going to get into a track.
Okay.
And you know what I'm about to play because I'm in love with this song, you know. I have to. Go ahead.
So I'm going to say, is this a ballad?
Well, no, not exactly.
Oh, I know what you're going to play. Okay, now I know. Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, I want to ask you, because the title speaks for itself, you know,
mm-hmm.
but I want to know, like, how much of, is there any real-life influence in that? I mean, did this happen to you? Were you actually, you know, singing this song about somebody?
You're talking about I Finally Found a Reason?
Yes, of course.
I was in a relationship, and I really wasn't getting, I wasn't satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
So the inspiration was that, okay, this is how I want my relationship to feel. Like, I finally found a reason. Like, you know, I wasn't getting that satisfaction. So,
right.
You know, I just was, the music kind of spoke to me. It has a Marvin Gaye influence to it. And it came, like, really fast. I remember that, in the studio. It came really fast. So it's sort of real life and sort of fantasy.
Well, that's well put. So let's go ahead and let them hear it. All right, folks, this is I Finally Found a Reason. Yeah, I really love this song, and I know you're going to really love it, too. So check it out. I like everything about that song. Everything. I mean, man, I can listen to that over. I remember when I first heard that, I literally had that on repeat for like a half an hour.
Oh.
Yeah, because I was just amazed. Like, I was amazed at just, you know, how well it was, you know, it was put together. I mean, just the content. And then, as always, I'm amazed at when you hit that high note and you hold it like that. Because it seems like that hurts.
No. I wouldn't do it. Can you imagine if I, like, you know, when I tour, you know, eventually when I have my own tour, my headlining tour, and I'm like, I can't do it at 90.8.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's almost on the same octave as, like, whistling.
Yeah, that's why, they, you know, they call it whistle tone, yeah.
Oh, it is? Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that's what it was called. Well, yeah. That makes a lot of sense. But, yeah, I mean, to be able to hold it like that. Yeah, see, that's what I'm amazed at. And, you know, even now, and there are a lot of talented artists out there, but
mm-hmm.
you don't really hear too many have a range like that. And to be able to hold a note like that, I mean, that's a special talent in my eyes.
Thank you. I don't take it for granted, I tell you, because one thing I can't stand, you know, as an artist when or a singer, when your instrument is your voice, like, I mean, you have to be very disciplined, and you show me how many artists really don't smoke or drink, or I don't smoke. I'm just saying, like, you know, you have to be so disciplined, like, no dairy, no smoking, no drinking, all this and all that. You know, it's like it's your body. Like, you're using your body as an instrument. It's breath control. It's you know, it's not like an instrument. If you break a string on your guitar, you know, you have to really keep up with your lessons. And I know I'm by no means great at doing that. You know, if you have to really be able to set time aside to do that, and you have to take care of your body, period. You know, you got to exercise, work on breath control. That's a lot involved, boo. It's a lot. So
yeah, I can, right, like I said, I can only imagine. I will always only be able to imagine it, because I, you know, and not to embarrass myself, but I tried it just
mm-hmm.
to see. And I thought I was going to pass out.
Oh,
like,
no,
this is not for me. I'm not. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, well, that's why you see so many artists, especially the ones that are like your Beyoncé's and your, you know, Rihanna's. Like, they have to stay in that gym. You know, like, trust me, like, they have to stay physically fit, because it's really daunting being on that road and traveling and touring. And people don't care, like, if they had a good show in Chicago and was you tired the next day in California, whatever, like, they want to see that good show. You know, it's a lot of sacrifice, and it's very physical. You know, it looks like it's, you know, glitz and glamour, but, you know, you have to put in a lot of hard work. So, baby, I may want some tequila, because I'm a tequila girl. I know you don't like tequila, but.
I just have a bad experience with tequila.
Oh, no, not one of those. Not
yeah,
one of those.
Yeah, my 21st birthday, as a matter of fact. I mean, I'll tell you this. I was in college, and, you know, we had just got back from Thanksgiving break, and it just so happened that my birthday had actually occurred during the break. So when we got back, you know, my best friend, you know, he had went to Mexico for Thanksgiving, and he brought back 2 gallons of tequila. So he looks at me. And he says, yeah, these are for you. Happy birthday.
I'm Whoa.
Like, and I'm like, okay. So he's like, well, there is a rule. And, you know, we started making margarita shots. And he's like, you got to take a shot with everyone who comes through the door.
Margarita shots? Oh,
yes, margarita shots. We had, he brought back these shot glasses. I call them double shot glasses because they were tall. They were kind of tall for a shot glass. And, you know, he's like, you got to take a shot with everybody that comes through the door. So it started off fine, you know, one or two people here and there. But I swear it was like he was calling people, because people just started coming through the door. And, like, and by the end of the day, I had 11 of those shots.
Oh, my goodness. That's crazy.
Yeah, I was done. And the last thing I remember that night was I was sitting in his room. I was trying to change the CD on the CD player. And I looked at the toilet, and I felt it. I felt that I was about to throw up. So I tried my best to get up to get to the toilet. And as soon as I stood up, I just threw up all over his floor.
Oh, no.
Right. So then, you know, he comes in, and I'm cleaning it up. So he comes in. He's looking like, I can't even say what he said. I can't repeat what he said. But, you know, like that next morning, you know, I went back over there, and he, you know, he saw me. He was like, yeah, now you got to eat this worm. He saves the worm.
Oh, my goodness. See, you know what? He's wrong.
Yeah, he was wrong. He was wrong.
Are you still friends with him?
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, I am. And,
he did you dirty.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I didn't blame him because, yeah, it was a lot on his floor.
What? Oh, yuck.
Yeah. I was definitely empty by the time I finished, but
Oh,
I had a hangover. Like, I had a headache for 3 days, like, to the point where, you know, I'm walking around campus and I can't even pick my head up, and, like, people are coming up to me and they're like, you all right? And you all right? And the only thing I could say was, you must have been there too, because, like, I didn't remember none of that.
You have to give it another chance. Like, I make a mean margarita, so I can help you out, you know. Like, you got to give it another chance.
I don't know. I mean, I hear that 1800 is pretty good. So I might
try. I don't
try.
Like 1800, but a Milagro, a Patron, or a Corazon is amazing. So it depends on 1800 is a little bit of a lower grade. I mean, I kind of know about mixology and making drinks. Like, that's my other talent. Corazon is really great. It's something that I really like to. If you go like a Jose Especial, it's not bad. It just depends on what, like 1800, I'm not a big fan, but it just depends on who's doing it for you. Like, I think you can handle it now. I think you can handle it.
Well, I don't know. If I am, it's only going to be because you made this margarita.
Hey!
I'm not gonna just volunteer it. I'm not. And I remember it was Jose Cuervo. It was Jose Cuervo Gold.
Yeah.
That was the one.
No.
Yeah, that was the one. And
no bueno.
Yeah, it was not bueno. No bueno at all. It's not muy mal. It was very bad. It was very bad. But yeah, I wanted to ask you, you know, you dropped your EP in about a year ago, November 2000.
Yeah.
And that's called Just Glow. And I like the name. I like what you did with that. I don't know people, but I noticed it. I noticed the play off the name.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to ask you about that experience. You know, just, you know, putting the time in to put out a project.
I mean, oh my goodness. Like, when it comes to, I mean, I was an artist that was, you know, doing shows, you know, recording music, and I didn't have a project out. I had been doing, you know, shows before I actually released the EP, so, and I was working with a manager who really, she was like, well, what are you doing with these songs?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was like, no, you're right. She was like, let me put these out. So she really encouraged me to put it out, so I appreciated that, because, you know, I mean, artists, sometimes, you know, we think about the band, we thinking about the show, we thinking about the, you know, we still recording, we think about the artistry, the lyrics, you know, it's really so much that goes into being an artist, especially an indie artist. But the experience was amazing. I mean, I was able to work with people who were super talented. Cardell out of Springfield, Massachusetts, that's my friend, my buddy, my little brother. He's on the project. I did some writing on the project. Herb Middleton is on there. And then we have, you know, it just was Inside My Love, which was well received. So it was amazing to actually see it, and especially how it was received by people publicly. You know, I was just nominated for a SoulTrack.com award for Best New Artist. So, you know, to see people actually being receptive towards my artistry, it's a blessing, you know?
Indeed. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm actually I'm broadcasting the award show this year.
Woo-hoo!
On Soul City Radio. So, yeah, we'll I'll definitely be tuned in.
Me too.
And I actually got the privilege of actually being on the nomination committee this year, which was it was an honor for me because, you know, I had I broadcasted a show for them. I believe it was 2010. Yeah, it was the first year I switched over to the format that we're at now. And, you know, I got the chance then, and I wanted to do it in 2011, but I was having equipment issues around that time, so I wasn't able to do it. And, you know, I'm getting the chance to do it this year, but I was surprised when I got that email. And, you know, they're like, you know, we want you to be on the nomination committee, and I blasted it all on Facebook. Like, it really felt good because it was like a validation, like, finally.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Yeah, because, you know, like you put in a lot of work with singing. I put in a lot of work with this, and, you know, it's practically just me. So, like, it really was a validation. But enough of me. Enough about me.
No, that's dope. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, you deserve it.
I had another question in mind. It wasn't something that I wrote down here, but I'll go to the next one that I wrote down. Now, you had mentioned before about, you know, writing songs, and I was going to ask if you do write your own songs, but I heard you say that you do. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask about that process. Now, when you sit down to write a song, like I hear different artists, you know, they talk about, you know, having their own process. You know, some may need the music beforehand, some may write the lyrics and then fit it to music later. Like, what is your process?
Let me just start out. Okay, first of all, I don't know if you saw Michael Jackson Bad 25 last night. Did you see that special?
No, I didn't.
Okay, oh my God.
Yeah, I was on the road.
Well, Quincy Jones was talking about, you know, the artist and producer relationship being an intimate relationship, you know, like basically saying that you have to trust your producer basically to be able to fall or to jump or to, you know, it's just no fear in that relationship. Like, and I really appreciate like working with, everybody works differently, but I really like working with my producer, and going off of their energy. You know, I want to know what the producer is thinking when he's doing music for me, or if he says he has a track for me. Like, I want to know, like, what was he thinking or what was she thinking, and, you know, really feed off of that energy, you know, because I think that's where the special collaborations come through. Like, when Quincy Jones and Michael Jackson got together, I mean, there is no fear. You know, he could jump. And, you know, Michael would have jumped because he trusted, you know, what Quincy was telling him to do and that it would work. So that's, I really identify with that. Like, when it comes to, I worked with my good friend Rich Medina. It's just like, it's a really personal, intimate relationship. You know, you have to know that, you know, they not laughing at you if you make a mistake or, you know, whatever. If you feel in some kind of way that you can trust that person, that it's, you know, that you can tell them that. So that's really my process. It's with the producer. Or even if I, you know, I also was able to co-produce a song I did called Divine. And I had this song, I had heard this Jerry Butler song, and it was like, man, I couldn't get it out of my mind. And from that, I wrote a song from it, and I was able to co-produce. So, and now I still, you know, that's a song that's also received very well. So it's a personal process. You know, you have to be open. It's intimate. And it's no fear.
You want to hear a funny story? Jerry Butler is actually my two older brothers. He's actually their godfather.
Get out of here.
Yeah, my mother knew him, you know, when she was younger.
In Chi-Town?
I mean, around this time, I guess he was... Well, the one story she always told me was how he invited her to New York. And,
okay.
Yeah, and I think that was... I guess how I can't really remember exactly how they met. I would have to ask her, but I just remember that particular story. And then, you know, she told me that, you know, he ended up being the godfather, which was kind of funny because, you know, you would think I would have met him by now with all that. But yeah, I'm gonna have to get that story straight. Make sure that she wasn't just, you know, spinning yarn.
She wasn't spinning.
I mean, you know, you never know. Never know. I mean, it did sound like really great hearing it. So, who knows?
Funny.
I try.
You like, Mama, was you having a little beer that night?
Right.
Was you sure you wasn't playing some dominoes and having some tequila, Mama? No.
Oh, snap. Hey, do you have any projects in the works?
Yes. I'm set. I say we, because you know it takes a team. Good Lord. But I'm set to work with Leon Ware in California. And I've been in talks to work with Richard Rudolph. I mean, he stays busy. He's constantly overseas back and forth from California. And I got to shout out my homie Isaac in California. And I'm going to get some projects working again with Cardell. It's just a matter of getting our scheduling together. Like, the team is there. I know exactly how this project is going to be. Like, I could just feel it. Lenny White, you know, which is also another mentor. You know, Lenny has told me some stories while he was working. You know, he's worked with some of the best, and he is a legend. He works with, you know, Herbie Hancock, and oh, my God, he's just amazing, and he's so supportive, and he came to my show and bought his wife, and it's just, oh, my goodness, my homie Chris. So it's, man, this project is going to be, like, what I feel, a dream, you know, really, like, I can hear the sounds, like, it's going to be jazz influence, you know, live instrumentation. It's going to be personal, and it's also going to still have a, you know, what Cardell is like, it's going to have, like, a little bit of an edge. So it's just, it's going to be amazing. As soon as we get these schedules together, honey, please, it's going to be going down.
I hear that. Shoot, I can't wait. I can't wait. I mean, Who on the team gets to decide the title? Is that you?
That's pretty personal. I'm sure my business manager, shout out to Kevin Hughes. You know, we'll talk about that. That's pretty personal, you know, because it's really a reflection of what I'm feeling. And, it's because that's, you know, it's soulful, like, I mean, I don't have a big, if I were to have a big label behind me for this project, you know, they would have influence. So, you know, maybe that'll happen, you know.
Right.
Maybe that'll happen. Shout out to Mike Clark. You know, he's trying to make some things happen. I just know God is in control. And I'm like, I got to keep on just staying positive. And just, I just know, like, I know, like, I know that it's just going to, like, be amazing.
You have. Well, I guess at this point you really don't have an idea of, you know, what direction you want to go with it. Just kind of just waiting and seeing, huh?
I mean, the direction, like I said, it's going to be a touch of jazz. You know, working with these cats that have been doing jazz and me being young and still, you know, I've worked with icons. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be definitely soulful, definitely jazzy. And I still have Cardell actually produced the song Gravity, and I have a song OMG that he did. So, you know, he brings that edge to it. But it's gonna definitely be, I think I'm gonna surprise people with this project, really.
I can dig it. And it's funny that you mentioned OMG, because I was going to play that tonight, and I'm listening to it, and I was like, I don't know if these people are ready for that one. I don't know if they're ready for that one. You know, that's one of those ones where, yeah, they should just get your music and listen to that one for themselves and let them feel it. Because, you know, like somebody had mentioned earlier about, you know, me playing music, you know, trying to get people pregnant and all that kind of stuff. And I'm just saying, like, you listen to a song like that, yeah. If you're paying attention to what's being said, like, you know what's going on. You know what's going on. I'm not going to put you on blast like that, you know.
Don't do that to me. Don't do it.
I'm not. I'm just saying, just know that I know what you're talking about. I know what's going on. But what I am going to play, though, is Where You Are, because that's another track that I've come to love. And it's a slow jam, so I have to play a slow jam. I have to make sure that I play a slow jam tonight. But I wanted to ask you, you know, if you could talk a little bit about that song.
Where You Are is it was actually written. It was a song he gave me that was written, and I loved the music, but I didn't love the lyrics. And I was like, you know, let me see what I can come up with. So we kept the chorus. I did not write the chorus, but I did write the bridge and the verses. And it came together like so smoothly, so naturally. It was easy, and it really made sense. And man, I mean, it's become one of my favorites too. And actually, that's a song that I didn't expect people to. I mean, not that I didn't think that they would like it, but you know, I know I love Wait a Minute and What About Me. But this song has been like one of those creepers. Like people are like mentioning to me more and more how much they really love this song. So, you know, you have those surprises. Like,
right.
You kind of have those songs where you think, okay, we're gonna hit with this one, we're gonna release this one. But I didn't really technically. You know, we went with What About Me as a lead single, and then we went with Wait a Minute, and then Where You Are ended up becoming one of those songs that like a lot of people requested.
You know, it is funny. Like every good project has a track like that,
mm-hmm.
and one that I like to reference all the time is from Boyz II Men, their first album, Please Don't Go, like.
Oh, yeah.
That was a song. It never really, you know, they never really released it as a single. And, you know, they never made a video for it. But to me, that was the best song on the entire CD.
Yes. I love that song.
Yeah. So, you know, you always got to have a song like that. And one thing that I always tell artists is, like, and at least for me, my measuring stick for an artist is their ability to produce a good slow jam. Because every artist should have one. I mean, mm-hmm. why not?
Right.
Unless you just don't feel any kind of love for anybody. But, I mean, you got to love somebody.
Right.
Somebody has to be able to make you do a slow jam track.
Love yourself, something.
Yeah, you know, just not too much.
Right.
You know, not literally, not physically, not a whole lot, because that can
mess
you
up. Right.
All right, we're going to go ahead and get into this. This is Where You Are, and this is on the EP, correct?
I'm sorry?
This track, it's not on the EP.
No, it is. It was on the EP. Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, cool. All right, folks, check this out.
Thank you.
Too Smooth. I actually have that in my iPod, too, by the way.
Oh, awesome.
Huh?
I said awesome.
Yeah, I keep that on my iPod. You know, I always have a slow jam playlist. I keep a slow jam playlist. I keep a regular, I guess, soul music playlist. And then I have a hip-hop playlist, of course. But, yeah, I have that in my slow jam playlist. And I have I Finally Found a Reason on the regular soul playlist.
Okay.
And,
I think
you
got a banging list. I know you got all the good stuff.
I do. I'm not going to lie. I do. I do. I mean, yeah, I've been in love with music for a long time. That's why I grew up wishing I could actually sing, because I wanted to do what you guys do. But when that didn't work, you know, I had to do something. So this is my contribution to the cause.
Well, thank you. You are very, very necessary and appreciated. So thank you for the hard work that you do.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the compliment. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about performing, because I could tell, like, just in hearing you talk, that you really love performing. What is it that you get from it, and what is it that you try to leave your audience with?
What I get from it is life. I get energy. Energy of people. You know, it's, you know, for me, like, the stage is almost like, you know, I guess what people would call church. I mean, it's really life for me. You know, you really get a little bit of worship, like the power and the energy of a band coming together and then people, and they feel it and you're giving to people. I mean, you know, the rule is when you give, you also receive. And,
sure.
Yeah, it's definitely something that's so spiritual, I would say.
I can dig it. So, what has been your best experience performing, and what's been your worst?
The worst, okay. Let's start with the worst, get that out the way. I mean, first of all, when it comes to live music and live performances, like, it's never going to go, you never know what you're going to expect, you know. I would just say unorganized promoters or unorganized, you know, people in this business that try to take advantage of you is the worst. And the best has been meeting so many of people who I've looked up to and who I listen to. I was sitting next to the radio listening to Freddie Jackson and listening to Ashford Simpson. Then I've been able to work with a lot of my peers, like a Jennifer Hudson and a Rihanna. And you get something out of each performance. Now, when it comes to my own personal performance, my best?
Mm-hmm.
I have an answer for that. I don't think I've had my best performance yet or my best situation. Like, I think I'm going to have to wait to answer that. I can't say that I've had that yet, like doing my own personal performances. The best time is when you're able to meet your fans, actually, and, like, they tell you how much that they love your music, and that keeps me going, you know? Like, if you don't feel it, it's no point in me. Like, we've all heard stuff, and we're like, man, it's kind of whack. But when you
right.
got people coming up to you and they're like, man, like this song of yours helped me get through this time, I can really identify with that. Like, those are my best times when I can meet people and reach out to them, and they come up to me with, like, stories of how they can relate. Like, those are always going to be genuine best moments for me, when I can meet people who can identify with, you know, the stories that I'm conveying.
Shoot, I hear that. So, and that question just went out of my head just like that.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to have to ask that one. Hold on. Let me think on that one.
Oh,
that was
Lord.
A good question, too. That was a good question. I got caught up trying to figure out. I was trying to jot something else down and completely forgot that question. Terrible. Oh, yeah, I remember. Have you, I guess what I'm asking is, have you performed in different size venues, you know, I guess, you know, from a small intimate setting to, let's say, a concert setting? And if so, which of those do you actually prefer?
I think my biggest audience was when I did BET 106 in Park.
I remember that.
You know, television is like, woof. Like, you know, you got to be, I think once you think it's like, okay, I'm good, I'm all good, but you're like, okay, wait a minute, such and such million people are going to see this.
Right.
I think television is fun, and I think that's like, oh my goodness, your adrenaline is pumping. I don't know, I get a little shyer with like the smaller audiences. Like, it sounds weird, but it's really true. Like, because I guess if I can, you know, you see like the faces of people looking like, honey, like, you better bring it. And it's like, it's a little intimidating, you know.
Yeah. That weird. You would think like you would get more shy just seeing all those people, like a big venue, and you just see thousands of people just standing there in front of you, like waiting for you. But,
well, I mean, I haven't had that yet, but I've had thousands of people. But, well, maybe, I guess television, because, you know, when you're doing it on TV set, so like film set, it's still like maybe, you know, it's a lot of lights. It's like still maybe like 100 or so people, and then like, you know, and then it's the camera. But I don't know, like the intimate settings, like the, even Sugar Bar, like I still get like, shaking in my boots sometimes. Like, I don't know, I get nervous, and I guess I don't ever want to lose that, and I never want to be too confident, like, I got this. Like, that's never,
right.
I can't see me being like that, and I've seen too many artists be like that, and you're like, mm-mm, have a seat, boo, so, nah, boo. So, it really depends. You know, if you feel in love and you feel in energy and you have maybe a little wine backstage, you might be like popping it, dropping it. You know, you can't tell, baby.
Well, I know one thing. I will never be popping or dropping anything.
That's you should not try it sometimes.
Nope. Mm-mm. Nope. I can't even say that I should. I'll just take
it. You should try it.
Yeah, next thing you know, you got me on a, I don't know, somebody's show on YouTube.
Try it.
Embarrassed all over the place. Someone, I was
so
listening
now,
to
I gotta teach you how to drop it and pop it, and I gotta get you a margarita.
Well, I don't know. Well, let's just say you might want to get the margarita first if you want to try to get me to pop and drop anything.
Exactly.
Terrible. That's just terrible. Yeah, so before I let you go, we got a few minutes left, but before I let you go, I want to, first I want to thank you again for coming and hanging out with me. I know that, you know, you were in a rush, but I do appreciate the fact that, you know, you still were able to call in. And I want to give you the opportunity to put anything out there that needs to be put out there, especially where they can find you and your music.
Okay, well, definitely. I just relaunched my website, Gloria Ryan Music. I'm still working it out, so it's still being updated. GloriaRyanMusic.com. That's GloriaRyanN Music.com. Yeah, and my EP is still available, GloriaRyan.bandcamp.com. So it's just more to come, God willing. You know, I want to thank everybody who just has supported me. You know, like, people come into your life and out of your life for a reason. Some stick with you and some may not. You know, so anybody who's told a friend of a friend about my music and they bought my EP, or, you know, my fan base is building even in the UK and SoulTracks.com, it's just, man, if it's one fan at a time, then it's one fan at a time. And I don't take it for granted. So thank you so much. Kevin Hughes, my business manager. You know, Miss Kiera Rodriguez. You know, it's been a lot of people who have just who really teach me and just help me to just encourage me to keep on going, because you know it's not easy.
No, it's not easy.
Like, people don't know, like, you know, when they meet you, when they hear you, when they see you, they, like, they expect you to be on. You know, they don't know if I got a dollar in my pocket or a Metro card. You know, like, so.
Right.
It's just patience, and I am human, and I'm really thankful to every artist that I've learned from, that I've worked with, and I know God is in control, so thank you, God. Thank God for my gifts, and thank you, you know, to the DJs and the radio personalities and everybody, like, we need you, so thank you so much.
I think I'm going to cry.
Don't cry. No, don't do that.
Amen. I had to catch that one. It was forming up in the corner there. I had to catch that. But you have any performances coming up?
No, it's just recording right now. My music is being played in Las Vegas on Power 88. Carlea Lewis is rocking. You know, my music is being, you know, played on the West Coast. You know, it's reaching Cali. It's, you know. It's a movement, you know, so no performances right now. We're just building my fan base, building more radio airplay, and doing more recordings. So 2013 is going to be amazing, and it's the year of making your dreams reality.
That it is. That it is. All right, well, we're going to get out of here with one last track, and this is the one that you suggested. Wait a minute. So if you would do so kind as to set this one up, and then that's how we'll get out of here.
All right. We're going to end with a firecracker. Oh, well, wait a minute. Self-explanatory. You know, ladies, if you feel like the relationship, brothers, if the relationship ain't working, you know what? You may have to step back and say, wait a minute. Let me think about it. You know, does this really work for me? So the song kind of sounds like a sexy song, but I'm really kind of telling somebody off, like, I need something else. So this is Wait a Minute, written by yours truly, Gloria Ryan.
You heard it, folks.
good thing and crumbled it. I think I may be done.
Which is entitled Just Glow. And Gloria, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I've been waiting so long to get to talk to you, and I had a ball. Thank you. You are welcome anytime. So if you hear me right now, when that new album drops, you got to come back. You got to come back. Man. Okay. Before we get out of here, though, before we get, you know, into this last little ride, as always, I want to thank each and every one of you out there for taking the time to listen in tonight. If you are listening in via the archives, I invite you to tune in each and every Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on the Flavor News Radio Network, teamed up with Soul City Radio to bring you the Soul Sessions Radio Show. And let me check. I'm not sure. Funny that I actually do not remember my guest schedule, not offhand, but let me see. No, I don't have anybody next week. So, as a matter of fact, yep, my next guest is December 7th. I'm having Chris Mincy on the show. So, all you Chris Mincy fans out there, you got to make sure you tune in for that. And on that note, I am out of here, and we are going to get out of here with a little Jill Scott. This is She Loves Me. See you next week.
while ago to my toenails. You got me feeling like the breeze, easy and free and lovely and me. Oh, when you touch me, I just can't control it. When you touch me, I just can't hold it. The emotion inside of me, I can feel it.
Thank you. something about the things you do when I am there.